Yeah, sort of big news, huh?
Yeah, sort of. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I was just talking to Jason, too. Like, the big surprise was the suitor.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's just, obviously, the core has changed. And if you look at it a big picture-wise, 9 years with those contracts, with those two, that was supposed to be the turning of the page. That's supposed to be a new era. And how many times did they get past the first round?
Zero or one?
It was
one.
Zero.
One. Did one. They not
was
get past?
One?
I thought they did once, but yeah, they got past when Nino beat the Avalanche with his shot.
Oh, yeah, Colorado, yeah, fast.
But think about how much work we had to do to think about if they got past the first round or not.
Well, yeah, right? Yeah. And it obviously wasn't happening. Billy G comes in, changes the whole atmosphere of the organization. They get Kaprizov in. Well, first he changes it all by recognizing that the core group of guys that this team's going to be successful is a young group, goes with Spurgeon as a captain. Right? So right then and there, it shows the team's plans for the future. Like realizing that, you know, Zach and Ryan, yeah, maybe they're leaders. Well, we both know they really weren't that great of leaders, but that's beside the point. And then, you know, it's not working. The formula didn't work. I mean, Numbnuts came in and traded a whole bunch of guys away, which we would love to take back now, especially Niederreiter.
I love that we call them Numbnuts. That's great.
Yeah, well, he is. I'm not going to call him asshole. Well, maybe I would call him asshole.
Numbnuts for sure, though, because, I mean, well, he did make a couple of decent moves, too, though, in fairness.
Well, obviously the Fiala one worked out, but still,
yeah.
Still, you look at his face value when it happened, he still got taken.
Yeah.
He still should have gotten more for what Grant, like, there still should have been a pick, a minor league, something else.
For sure.
So as well as you look at that, like, wow, the Fiala worked out. It did, but he still should have had more. Like,
right.
He should have more in the bank for that one.
Still numb nuts.
You know, and then now, obviously, with the thing, with everything going on, Parisi, not only is it, one, an obvious move where, I don't want to say it's an obvious move, they were trying to get him to ask for a trade, but they were, and he's not going to move on. He probably told him, and I, you know, speaking with Zach at that softball game, he's like, I'm not freaking going for a trade. Like, he was pissed off. He wanted to stick it up their ass. So he turns around and says, like, hey, I'm not asking for a trade. What are their other options? Like, they've already set this groundwork. So are they going to move forward with Zach being an extra guy, create this huge distraction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Minnesota boy. He came in with this big contract. So it's just this distraction. Remember, he's just talking about it constantly, you know? Get rid of it altogether. Like, just cut off the head of the snake, buy him out, moving on, and then you throw Suter in there with the money. Because what, they had $18 million, I think? $16 million, $18 million?
Between the two of them?
Before they did this.
Right.
And now, you know, you kind of take a look at it and see, well, now they got some money for, obviously they got money for Kaprizov, and hopefully they got some money to pick up Eichel.
I think they've backed off on the Eichel thing, but I don't know for sure. But
everyone has, because Buffalo is still asking for the fucking moon.
Right.
Well, we just talked about it here yesterday or the day before, and that was the one thing. We're like, they're asking prices too high. Nobody's going to jump on that. Nobody's that desperate, right?
Right.
And as the summer progresses, now you start getting into the draft. You start getting into the expansion draft, you know, time starts ticking on Buffalo. Do they want us? Now it's like, wow, do we hold on to them? You know, what do we do here? We, you know, as the time starts ticking, the with nobody biting, we have to lower the price. You have to.
Right.
So, yeah,
yeah, it's,
for now, they've backed off, but so has the rest of the NHL.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, I think it's the asking price is bonkers, but also, I mean, you know, this surgery he wants to have is a little concerning, isn't it? I mean, is he worth that price tag when you have the question marks? I don't know. Or is it not really that big of a concern?
Well, that's all part of the price
tag. Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing. You factor that in as well. I'm sure that's what all the NHL teams are like, well, wait a minute, you want us to, you know, you want a Herschel Walker-style trade here, and we're not 100% certain that, you know, it's negotiating. It's just like Kaprizov saying, well, maybe I'll go back to Russia. Who knows if he really even cares to go back to Russia? He's still going to use it as a bargaining chip.
For, of course.
So whether
sure.
teams care or don't care about the neck injury, which most probably do, like, hey, like, we don't know exactly what we're getting. The price comes down a little bit, then they'll take a risk on that.
Right. For shizzle.
You know.
For shizzle.
For shizzle.
You know, I would argue, too, that we may have the centers we need in the system. You know, and if you can bolster up, if you bolster up the wings, you know, you can get away with lesser centers. I don't know. I mean, at the same time, I mean, I don't know that, you know, does other than Stamkos, does Tampa, well, Point is a center, isn't he? Or is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Point he is. Okay. Point so Point and Stamkos. Okay. That ruins Stamkos that argument.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bounced back and forth between wing and center, but, he's just really good at hockey, obviously. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you, we'll have to just see what happens. Here's the one thing I know that as a fan, I'm not totally sold on the Suter move other than the culture, the just having those guys out of there. And you know, I make them sound like they're chopped liver. They, you know what? Did things go exactly the way we wanted when those two signed in 2012? No, probably not. But did they change the trajectory of this franchise? Absolutely. You know, they've been with, you know, they allowed us to get some, take some of the shots that we got, you know, that they took, you know, in the past with signing free agents and trades and stuff like that. They didn't work out, but that's, you know, a lot of that credit goes to Zach and Ryan for their presence here, and that lured in other players, and it didn't work out, like I said, but, you know, we got to give them credit for that. But that said, with them out of the room, it really gives, I mean, if it wasn't before, that cloud is now gone, and you've got a completely different locker room. And like Bill Guerin said, you have two more roster spots to A, protect from Seattle, and B, to give guys opportunities going forward.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we haven't seen Rossi, and yeah, I know you have you make a good point on sentiment if we do have the sentiment, but that's a big if.
Right.
I mean, that's a big if. And so how many years, let me ask you this, how many years are you willing to see if we have a sentiment to play with Kaprizov until you think he gets frustrated?
I'd say probably 20 years. No, I don't know. I mean, you know, yeah, I understand what you're saying for sure. I mean, if they can get a number one guy for sure, it's just a matter of the cost, you know?
Yeah. And would you, and not to mention the other thing, would you take a number one centerman and give up the opportunity of maybe one of them working? I mean,
you're saying.
Maybe one of them works. Yeah. What if they don't work at all? And you've spent 2-3 years now grooming a young centerman that can't go with Kaprizov. Now you're going into, what, his fifth year now in Minnesota? How frustrated is he going to get by then?
He probably would be pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
To quote,
we want to keep Kaprizov here, and if you want to optimize him, get him a fucking centerman and get him a fucking centerman now.
To quote your guy, Joe Mauer, it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so we're going to I'm actually going to, you're in New Jersey. I didn't even know. Thanks for letting me know, by the way. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to, it's messy to connect both you and Johnny Ballin at the same time. So when I hang up with you, I'm going to call him. We're going to connect, go over some of the cap stuff, and we'll see exactly how this thing breaks down, and then I'll report back to you on what he says. Or you could just listen to the podcast, but you sent me a couple of items in text, too, that I will to position to him. But more importantly, arguably more importantly, I just got the rosters for the Beauty League.
Yeah.
Jade just arrived in text.
I just saw them too here.
Do you want to hear who we have?
Jesus Christ, I can't fucking. There we are. It's all blurry.
Yeah, it is blurry.
Oh, Bukestad, Cates, Lizotte, Pagarski.
Pagansky? Pagansky?
Reichel, Swainy, Nick Swainy.
Swainy, he's with the Iowa Wild, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
We got some youngsters.
Yeah. Starting to wonder, you know, if it's the classic, they stacked every other team, you know? We always seem to get, you know, we never have any of the big, huge names on our team. They always want to give those to somebody else. You know? What do you think about that?
Oh, we got a couple of NHLers regulars.
We have two. Well, no, we have Ryan Lindgren too, but
Bjugstad, Lindgren, Jensen. All right, well let's get recording here.
We are. We just did. We just nailed it. It's already done.
Oh, well, let's talk about the Beauty League then, huh?
That's what I was doing. Are you high?
Not yet.
Yeah, I'm just looking at these rosters, and it's like, oh, okay, I see how it is. You know what? We're going to surprise the world is what we're going to do. We're going to shock the world. Brian Lawton has Justin Braun, Alex Goligoski, Seth Helgeson. I mean, give him some more NHL defensemen. Although we have Forbert, Jensen. I guess we have four NHL defensemen, which is what you always want. That's what you've burned into my brain.
Well, Matty Kjerstad was, he got a little bit of time in Florida.
Yeah.
He's a good kid, though.
Is there anything you want to, you obviously won't be here this week. Is there anything you want to, pass along to the ass coach for tomorrow?
Well, I actually fly in tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be there or no?
Yeah. I get back tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I think so. Unless the only reason I won't be there is if, Gianna's got a lacrosse game, which I don't know if she has or not, because for some reason those lacrosse schedules never make it into my calendar.
Of course.
Of course. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, man, the Beauty League is fun. I can't believe it's already middle of July.
It's back. It's wonderful.
It's begun. Hockey has started. There's the break. Cup gets over, a week and a half. Here we go. Let's play.
We're the Norsun team this year, though. We're not Walser again, which is going to be weird.
Yeah, I like being Walser because we get the baby blue.
Yeah. Well, I think
Championship colors.
I think you should you should complain. To ownership or to the league officials.
I will be a thorn in their side, which they will probably ignore.
Although we have Osseo colors now, so there's that.
Good for hunting.
All right, I'm going to go talk to John Vollen. You have fun. Do you work at all today, or are you done?
I got a 6 to 7.
You're going to break down these this massive buyout?
This massive buyout, yes, as a matter of fact. Oddly enough, the NHL Network is very excited because the two people working tonight after this news are myself and Coach Bruce Boudreau.
Oh! That'll be perfect.
I wonder if I'll get a word in.
I wonder if he'll hold back.
I don't know.
That should be interesting. Well, you know what? We just gave the NHL Network a nice plug because that is must-see TV, especially if Bruce Boudreau decides to open up and cut a vein.
Yes, definitely. Actually, it reminds me. I'm going to send a tweet about it right now.
I like it. All right, buddy. Well, we'll see you tomorrow night, brother.
See you tomorrow night.
All right, let's transition straight into our NHL cap expert. His name's John Vollen. He goes back to St. Cloud State with Marky Parrish. It's too tough to connect both of them on the phone. It's doable. It just sounds terrible. So conducting it as two different conversations. So I'll be the constant in this podcast. Anyway, Johnny V. What the hell is this rolling studio thing?
I'm a new ride.
Are you serious? What's it for? Are you going to camp or what?
No, I'm just going to go on the road.
Oh. Selling your house?
Well, eventually. But selling the truck, selling the trailer, going with the RV.
Wow.
Year round.
Wow. You're crazy. You're a vagabond. You're going to be.
Hey, sweeps 4, toilet shower, 2-burner stove, indoor-outdoor shower.
Wow.
Good to go.
Wow. Get a band in there with you.
You could.
Driver for hire.
It'll set up for a very nice face-to-face 4-person podcast for you.
What will it cost me?
I haven't decided yet on that.
Okay, because the studio's free, so.
Right. Yeah. This, you can go right to them, do it right in your driveway.
Well, I have to make money to do that.
Yeah, well, you made enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I'm scratching just to pay the bills this month, because I've made enough already. Anyway.
You just got bought out.
Yeah, how about that? Holy smokes. So when did you hear about it?
Earlier, I can't remember, before noon, I think. I can't remember.
Okay, so it was today. Okay.
Yeah, it was today. I mean, I think there was always rumblings of it, trying to make a change. And
don't you think Suter was a little bit of a surprise, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's played well. But then, and, you know, I look at it, too, and, you know, came in together, leaving together, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't know, package deal?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I said earlier today, was that it was a big splash when they both signed here together, and it's just as big a splash as they exit together. So,
yeah, I mean, it's never easy to see or fun to see when somebody loses their job.
No, definitely not.
I mean, I think the direction the Wild want to go in, I mean, I think, you know, it's 4 years, right? So year one, you're going to be good because the hit isn't that heavy on it,
right?
Realistically.
Right.
I mean, it is. Years three and four are the heavy years, right?
Right.
But it's ultimately like you're paying them, you're saving, probably, I don't know, $300,000 or something on the combined. But, you know, but in 3 or 4 years, you better hope that some of your draft picks are panning out, you know?
Right. Do you see
that are less money?
Do you see the cap going up enough, say in years 3 and 4, that maybe that hit won't be quite as detrimental?
I think there will be a rise in it for sure, but I think if you're looking to when you get to those years, right, like. Other people will come off the books that are carrying larger numbers too, right?
Right.
So you're hoping your younger players are coming through, and maybe they're in a transition or they're in a bridge period, or, you know, I think you're hoping that those numbers are low and you're going to be locked into what you could call your new core group, right?
Right.
Whether it's, you know, Fiala, Kaprizov, and, you know, whoever else, right? Whoever falls into that new core is getting the long-term, Brodin and Spurgeon, and, you know, they're getting the longer-term deals, and, you know, Eriksson Ek and all those guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that your new core? And they're locked in past that, right? So you already know what it's going to be. So now you're looking to fill.
And so you're hoping you're filling with young guys that, you know, are on rookie deals or, like you said, bridge deals that make it all very manageable.
Yeah, you're bringing other people in. Like Marco Rossi has 3 years. You know, he's supposedly a high prospect, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they have some other guys that are high prospects too, Boldy or whatever, right? And
right.
And they're going to be in that transition. That, you know, when you're getting to that 2, 3, 4 year, right? Like that's then you're kind of those guys are just on hopefully coming into it, right? Maybe they're not earning substantial. Maybe they are. I mean, I don't know. I think that's. Something they'll cross.
But that's what they're banking on, though. There. That's what they're banking on, though, right?
I would think so. I mean, I would think that they're looking at, if you look at the players they've signed, it's kind of a younger core that have long-term deals that
yeah.
already surpass past year four when you're
right.
taking the heavy hit
right.
on the buyout, right, for the cap penalty. But then I think, you know, I think they have that locked in, and then they're going to fill in with other guys. I mean, you know, you look at guys that you get, you know, that come in and are maybe on trending, you know, downward in their career, but they're still playing. They're still going to give you value, right? But you have the young guys, right? So you're looking to prop up your new core that's young and that's emerging. I think, I mean, that would be my take on it, but
right.
I don't know. I give them, you know, it's a bold move for sure.
Do you like it?
But
from a guy that looks at cap every day and knows
yeah,
the league pretty
I
well.
Think I think I could see the numbers and where you could manage it. I mean, it's a bold move, and I give them a lot of credit, right, for doing it. And, you know, they're showing you they're going to move in a different direction. And I think they showed that a little bit through the season, what they've done with players. And I think you have a good core that's young, that's coming, that's showing they can do stuff. And I think if you continue to build around that, I mean, there'll always be veteran guys that you can bring in. I mean, you know, look at Cully, how long was he playing for, like on 1 year deals at the league minimum or just above the league minimum, right? But
right.
He was a serviceable player. If you find that guy, I mean, Cully might be an anomaly, but if you find that guy that can really help that young core develop.
I mean, Bonino right now with the Wild could be one of those guys, those kinds of guys.
For sure.
How exactly does have you looked at their cap, and how does it play out over? I know that this year it's like an $11 million break, but then after that, how does it shake out?
Well, it's when you buy them both out, because they had $10 million left on their contracts, if I'm not mistaken. They had 6-2-1-1, right? So
okay.
A total of $10 million over 4 years. So the buyout is two-thirds over double the term. So you take two-thirds of the 10, and then you divide it out. They're going to get paid over 8 years, right?
Okay.
But the cap hit is different. Like the cap, I believe, in the first year is probably 2.3, you know, around 2.3 and change for each, and then it's 6.3, and then 7.3, 7.3, and then it'll drop to, you know, 833,000, right? Giving you round numbers, right?
Right.
So it's really the first 4 years is where there's major hit. The last 4 years, you know, yeah, you're taking a ding, combining them at about $1.6 million and change, but that's, you know, that's in today's day and age, I think that's pretty manageable. It's the first 4 years where, if you group them together, it's probably 2.6. Year two is 12.6.
Hoofta.
Year three and year four is 14.6.
Jesus.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you were paying them, because those are the 4 years, and they had 4 years left on their deal, you're taking that cap hit regardless, because it would have been $15 million, because I think their AAV was $7.5 each.
Yep.
So you're taking $15 million. You're saving $300, right? Which is maybe gives a guy a game play bonus or something. But, I mean,
yeah,
it's a four-year, right? Like a four-year hit, you still save a little money. But I think it's more there. I think they're looking at it as an organizational thing of where they're moving, right?
Yeah. Because the other thing, too, that doesn't come out of the numbers is you've now opened up. Well, first of all, you've opened up two spots that can be protected from Seattle, and you've also opened up two roster spots. And you can, you know, give these guys some real ice time that you're hoping to bank your future on.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you look at, you know, what they're going to do or who they're going to protect, right? You know, Dumba's protected, or, you know, who are the two? Because those guys were automatically protected because they had the no move.
Right.
So
you could do Dumba and Soucy, or, you know, or Greenway or whatever.
Right. You know, depending if you go the 7-3-1 or the 8-1. I think they 7-3-1.
Really? I think they go 4-4-1.
You think they go 8 skaters and 1 goalie?
Yeah, because I mean, I like the idea. In my opinion, just without, you know, sitting there and dissecting the roster, I like the idea of keeping Spurgeon, Brodin, Dumba, and Soucy. I have to believe that if you're willing to buy out Suter, you believe that Soucy can kind of fill that role to a certain extent, and thus you would want to protect him. I can't see them wanting to give up another asset now to protect guys. So that's the only reason why I see that. That, and I'm personally kind of over Jordan Greenway. So
you're on a Spurgeon, Brodin, Dumba, Soucy, and Zuccarello gets protected because he's has no move.
Yep.
So now you're at 5.
Right. Does Fiala have to be protected? I forget what the cutoff is on year, how old they are. Because like Kaprizov, is it rookie deals that don't have to be, or what is it?
Right. No, you have to protect Fiala, Eriksson Ek.
Right. Zuccarello.
That's why I think
four defensemen makes sense, because I just think they have more value. I mean, you know, do you leave Soucy unprotected? And I mean, I have a high opinion of Nico Stern, but, you know, I mean, would you rather protect him than Soucy, or Hartman or Foligno or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, and you kind of have to look at everybody else's rosters and be like,
yeah,
you have to draft being Vegas, being like, okay, who am I going to take?
Right.
Because then are they going to take, you know, they take somebody else where you thought now they're going to take Foligno because he's a character guy, right? Like, you know, I mean, so it's kind of like you look at who's out there and who do you think they're going to take? And then, I mean, it's all going to change, right? It's just like the entry draft. If somebody goes off the board and takes somebody that's not rated, then everybody slides again. So it's, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's kind of like gambling. It's a little risky.
For sure.
The way you go. But I mean, but then you never know. Are they making other moves before then, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? We obviously we don't know. The one thing I will say is I wholeheartedly believe in Billy G, and you know, he's definitely got a plan. He's not, you know, he's not winging it with this, and you know, and I believe in his plan. So far, I think he's done a pretty damn good job since he's been here, and he kind of did what nobody else wanted to do, and that was move the core and you know, to a different group of players. And you know, he kind of led the charge on the shifting of the leadership. You know, I guess that's the core at the same time, whatever. But, you know, he kind of was the guy that forced the hand on that. And, you know, the existing core had no choice but to relent and allow that to happen. Where in the past, I think it's kind of been, I guess, just fought, you know, however I'm trying to word that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I mean, I would agree. You've done a, you know, what he's going to do is, I mean, for me, it's hard to see a guy. I mean, been through a lot of buyouts, but like to have guys lose their job like that. I mean, you know, your career's coming to, I won't say an end, but your time here is coming. Look at the whole picture of, you know, they have kids that are in school and, you know, whatever, right? Like there's a lot of other things that play into it where people are like, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Right? For
sure. Pay a lot of money. But you know, it's a business, right? And I think Billy, at the end of the day, he knows what the goal is, and it's to win a Stanley Cup, and he's got to do what he's got to do, right? Like,
yep, totally agree with you, 100%. I mean, it's like we've said on this podcast multiple times. They're humans. They're not robots. So,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're well compensated for the stuff that they go through, but that doesn't mean that they're not going through it. It doesn't mean that, you know, being separated. You know, I don't care. I don't care if you make $10 an hour or $10 million a year. Being separated from one of your kids, even for a couple months or whatever, that sucks. I don't care. Again, yeah. I don't care who you are, what you do for a living, how great your job is, you know, as far as people's perspective goes, again, or how much money you're making. It's still incredibly difficult. I hate being away from my kids for a day. So, yeah. So,
yeah. No, it's definitely, I mean, and I think, I don't know the exact ages of their kids, but they're at that age, right, where they're in school and they're embedded in the community and their friends and everything else. And
yep.
I don't think they're going to pick them up and move them. And it's just a tough, it's a lot of things to go through. But I think at the end of the day, it's a business and you have to do what you have to do. I mean, you know, the organization has to make a decision and they have to move in the way they think they are. I mean, it's, you're not looking at them, you're looking at the team, right? What's better for the whole versus the parts.
Right. Okay, so I have one last question for you. With Suter specifically, why now? Just because it, you know, like, I can see getting ahead of it before, but I mean, he looks like a guy who can play until he's, you know, I'm not saying he's as good as, like, Nicklas Lidström was, but, you know, Lidström played into his early 40s. Brian Leetch played into his early 40s with relative ease, Chelios, et cetera. And he just seems like one of those guys who could play that long and still be effective. Now, has he lost a step? Has he, you know, would he get burned by some of the faster players in the league from time to time? Yes. But still, he was overall, he was a very solid defenseman. Now, I don't know if you're just trying to get ahead of that or what, but with a buyout, I don't know what I'm at. I guess I just don't. Are there salary cap implications for buying him out now as opposed to a year or two from now?
Well, I think when you buy them out, it's going to be based on the age and all that. But I think you're right. I think they're getting ahead of it. But I think, you know, for Ryan, I think, yeah, he's farm strong, right? Like, he might get beat, but he's going to catch you, right? And you don't want him to get a hold of you because he'll toss you around like a rag doll. But I mean, I think I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to say. Like if I try to think what they're thinking, but I think it's just do it now. Like, you know, it's when you rip the Band-Aid off, right? You just have to rip it off and be done, right? And
I was more looking at, like, from your expertise with cap. I mean, is there a difference in, like, does it spread out differently or by buying them out this year as opposed to, say, 2 years from now or next year?
Well, you'd have to do the numbers, and I think you run the risk of, you know, because I think their salaries were 6-2-1-1, right? So they signed contracts of $98 million, so there was $10 million left on it, so they've made 88. If they got 6 during the 21-22, then there's 4 left, right? So if you're dividing it out, you know, 4/3, you know, but then if you go far enough, right, and I wouldn't ever say that they would do it, but does a guy retire and then you get the cap recapture penalty, like, you know, then you really get tagged, right? So, right. I mean, it's all different numbers. I think they've run the numbers where they think it's the most economical spot to do it, and I think it's more of just saying we're going in a different direction, right? Like making that poignantly clear to everybody.
So it's not even so much about the cap necessarily. It's more, I mean, you know what? Now that I'm talking it out, it obviously isn't about the cap because they're gonna be punished pretty hard for the next, you know, 3 to 4 years, like we talked about. So, you know, save this year, but 2, 3, and 4 are gonna be tough. So yeah, I guess you're right. It is more just about a symbolic gesture and or a literal gesture of, you know, this is the way we're going. You know, Erickson Ek, Spurgeon, you know, those guys, if it wasn't before, it's your team now. So time to buckle up and get ready to go.
Well, and I think you looked at it too, like you're saying it opens up 2 spots.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So they may have a different plan in mind of what they're going to protect, or they needed those 2 spots, or they have something else going, or, you know, you could think about it a million different ways, but I think you're on that, you know, it opens up roster spots. I mean, who was drawing a blank, but, you know, last year they had the young defenseman Addison, right?
Like Kalen Addison, you know,
Do they need that? Do they, you know, they want to have a spot? Do they want to have more flexibility? I don't know. I mean, it opens up a lot of things if you do it, you know, if you did one and then did one, it's like, okay, you know, you're just dragging your feet or, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's a bold move, and I think it's, I think they're showing, you know, the fan base too, like, hey, you know, we're trying to do something here.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate the time. I'll let you get back to your camper and or your electric bike or whatever it is that you ride. You got like all the craziest modes of transportation I think I've ever seen.
You have to. I mean, I might be going, well, can we go to the moon now, or can we go to outer space?
I want to. Yeah, I would. Would you do that? I would.
No.
No? I would.
No.
I mean, the only thing that would give me pause is my kids. That's the only reason I would pause. But dude, just think of the perspective you would get for yourself on this planet by seeing the planet from above it. I mean, that would be insane to me. I know, I'm very philosophical.
Yeah. Well, who's going? Bezos is going next, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm fine. I'm actually fine if he just doesn't come back. I know, I'm a dick. What can I say?
But they just get to outer space, because wasn't it that they had weightlessness for a minute or something?
Yeah, when what's his name, Richard, whatever Branson or whatever went. Yeah, I guess so. My guess is that Elon Musk doesn't do it until he can actually get to Mars.
No, for sure.
Because that's how he rolls. Yeah, that's how he rolls. So, all right. Well,
yeah, I don't know.
Thank you, and thank you for the additional space talk too. I like talking about space. We can do a space podcast if you want.
There you go.
All right, Johnny V. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Take care.